B-Pod Studios.
For 2 years, we did a media Green Mile Challenge, and for 2 years, my team won. So since we, I guess, have segued from the said competition, we can safely say that Team Charlie is the undisputed and retired champion of the Green Mile Challenge, yes?
Charlie, it's not easy winning a major.
Stay with us and we're going to show you how to take dead aim.
Take dead aim.
The importance of taking dead aim.
Welcome to Taking Dead Aim, a show dedicated to the game of golf and the people who play it in the Carolinas and around the world. Taking Dead Aim is a presentation of Neogenics Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain, and Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. And now, here's your host, the guy using your member number at the snack bar, Charlie Nance.
Hey there, once again. And we're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain. And Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You need it. Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center in Pineville. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter, at CLT underscore golf guy. You know, normally, this is described as the great exhale week in Hilton Head at the RBC Heritage. However, coming off the pressure-packed week at the Masters, this year's tournament is one of the tour's designated elevated events, meaning big bucks, no whammies, and the top players in the world really have no choice but to play in it, as they only have the option to miss one of these elevated events. Most of these guys have now been involved in 8 of 10 or 9 of 11 weeks. They do not do that. They are fried. But that's this week, and we'll get to that, I promise. First, we need to look back at the season's first major championship, John Rahm's brilliant weekend performance at the Masters. Also, what do we make of the finish of Phil Mickelson and his LIV Tour brethren? All this, Hilton Head, and more, with this past week's recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism from the PGA of America, our friend Ron Green Jr. Then, we're going to look ahead a little bit to next month's Wells Fargo Championship right here at Quail Hollow Club with tournament director Gary Soba. So enough of my jabber. Ron Green Jr. in seconds. Are you a serious golfer? GreaterGolfExpress.com is where you need to shop. Complete selections from all the major and minor manufacturers. Are you just getting started in the game? Well, GreaterGolfExpress.com has one of the best pre-owned club selections anywhere. Even a fantastic lefty department. Clubs, balls, apparel, accessories, ladies, juniors, you need it? GreaterGolfExpress.com has it and has it for less. And don't forget to check the sale tab for fantastic buys. The golfer's paradise is GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies in Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Ron Green Jr. had a busy Masters week, beginning with his receipt of the PGA of America's Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism. Ron, there's lots to talk about, lots to unpack, but we need to get started because I've just got to know. Getting the Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism from the PGA of America, you promised me that your speech was not going to go on and on and on. How long was it?
I think I got it down to around 5 minutes.
Excellent work.
Yeah, I think at times it seems like it was about 5 hours while I'm standing up there. I got through it. Got a little choked up the last couple lines there that I could figure out what's going to happen. But got through it with no, people probably just being nice, said it was sweet, not, uncomfortable with me being up there. So, I tried to keep it fairly light, and it was very nice. The video, it's great. Jim Nance narrating it, Rory in there talking about me, Davis Love talking about me, other friends, colleagues, Jaime Diaz, and then in there. Very, very nice.
Well, that is excellent. Again, I know I've already congratulated you many times, but congratulations. It was so deserved. And I know that's such a special thing when they hand out that award and they do it during Masters Week. It just sort of really adds to the emotional quality of it. So I think it's fantastic. Now, let's get to the tournament itself. Well, no, before we get to the tournament, let's do one more journalism thing. I know you had to be in the press room on Friday. I came off my couch when I saw it. Maybe the greatest line ever delivered by someone who didn't know what they were saying in a press room at Augusta National, when the kid Bennett says, and I'm paraphrasing now, but the quote is close to this. Yeah, I won the U.S. Amateur at Ridgewood last year, and it's much tougher than this place. Tell me, I've got to know, how many people just turned ashen white in the room when that was said?
Well, I will confess that I was not there when he said it, but it was just, in case you didn't get it, he doesn't lack for confidence.
No.
you know, he might want to reconsider that on Sunday afternoon. But, I mean, you know, he was a story. I mean, people really gravitated to him. I mean, he's brash. He's not afraid of how good he thinks he is. And obviously, he won the U.S. Amateur, and he's playing in the last groups on the weekend there at Augusta. So there's a lot to it. You know, I think all the attention seemed to be on Gordon Sargent coming in there. And coming out, it was all on Sam Bennett. I mean, there's a big week for him. He'll be playing golf for money pretty soon now, and we'll see how it goes. But he's already made a name for himself now. I mean, he's somebody people recognize, and, you know, he got a really good ovation when he came up one Sunday afternoon. I mean, it's quite a week. I know he'd like to have finished top 12, but it was a very good week.
John Rahm must have gotten the memo that you were receiving your honor this week, because all you've done for the last 4 or 5 years is predicted John Rahm to win the Masters. So it's only fitting when you got the Lifetime Achievement Award that your pick finally came through. And I think more than anything else, I was blown away, not that he won, but the manner in which he won. And they brought this up on the telecast, and it had already occurred to me. It was very Tiger-esque 2019. It was putting the ball where it needed to be, starting at about the ninth, tenth hole, and just, he made the field have to beat him. He was not going to beat himself, with the exception, I wouldn't have gambled like he did on 13, which was amazing. But it was a mature pro's pro way to win the Masters. It just knocked me out.
Yeah, I mean, tactically, he did what you're supposed to do. And, Tiger showed, let others make the mistakes. You just keep doing what you do. And, you know, and whatever switch went from on to off for Brooks Koepka overnight Saturday into Sunday, you know, he never got it flipped back around, really. And Rahm just, you know, considering the way he started, not only did he four-putt the first hole for double bogey on Thursday, he pull-hooked his tee shot on the second hole and thought the ball was actually in the creek. I mean, instead it glanced off a tree and kicked back out in the fairway, and off he went. You know, suddenly he shoots 65 and sets himself up for the weekend. He's just built for these big things. He's got the head on his shoulders. I mean, he's got enough fire and passion in him that you know, it shows, but it doesn't overwhelm his golf. There may have been times when he let it flash too hot earlier, but, I mean, he seems to have really grown into just a really smart, mature player. I mean, he just, you know, and he's got a swing that doesn't look like there can get to be many things get off kilter with it. I mean, it's pretty short, compact, but ferocious. And he has such utter confidence in it. It felt like it was just a matter of time, and now he's got one.
You know, Ron, we went through an era where everyone's swing sort of looked the same, sort of looked like Adam Scott, Tiger Woods, Butch Harmon's teaching from the early 2000s. Seemed like everybody looked that way. And now all of a sudden we look at the two best players in the world, Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm, and it's sort of a throwback to the old days of the 70s and 80s, where you got a lot of homemade swings out there, but they own those swings. And the two best players in the world, there's not an instructor on the planet that would tell you to do it like they do, but boy, they sure are effective.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Furyk's a classic example of that. As Arnie used to say in that tagline for the commercial, swing your swing. You know, I mean, Arnie had his own unique move. And I think that's what a lot of the best ones do. I think it's easy to get trapped in positions and thing. You know, guys, you see guys constantly checking this spot or that spot on the takeaway or downswing. You know, that's all the analytics that tell you this. But I think at the end of the day, you have to just go out there and play and trust it and believe in it. And you also need some touch and finesse and, I think, artistry to it. I mean, I think we can cite any number of players through the years who can just stand there and dazzle you on the practice tee. But, you know, then they get on the golf course and it doesn't quite translate into what you think it could. But I think, you know, Rom just, he's told the story many times about why his swing is as short as it is and because of the club foot he was born with, and it affected his mobility. But, I mean, it's, you know, you go with what you got. I mean, go back to Calvin Peet, you know, whose arm wouldn't bend fully and couldn't fully lock. And he's probably the straightest driver the tour's ever had. So, it's knowing what you have and sort of being true to it, I think.
I like that word artistry before I bring this next person up because there's something about the pines at Augusta National that tend to wind the hands of the clock backwards because for about 2 hours on Sunday, we got the full artistry of Phil Mickelson doing things that only Phil Mickelson can. All you had to do was look at, no one was able to put that ball anywhere near 10 feet of the hole on 17. Phil put it to 2 inches. Just that whole back nine. We got the full, he and Spieth were the most entertaining by far group on the course. But Phil coming out of nowhere and literally out of the clouds, his game has been terrible for the last year or so. But to do what he did, a 65 on Sunday, a second place finish at Augusta, regardless of any decisions that Phil's made or disagreements with how he's gone about doing things, my God, he's still Phil Mickelson, and he still is so vital to the game, don't you think, Ron?
I mean, everybody who saw that one coming, yeah, raise your hand, and there'll be no one. I mean, Phil will tell you he's been shooting good scores and felt it was coming, but I don't think he felt 65 on Sunday at Augusta was exactly what he was going to do, but yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it kind of made you wistful in a way. I was standing out there on 18 when he made the birdie putt there and sort of double fist pumped it. And he walked over and you could just see him stand there with a smile on his face and that sort of glow because he was very somber or reserved around Augusta National. You'd see him go by and he'd wave. And, you know, once you get past the fact that he's obviously lost a lot of weight, he looks a little different. But then it was easy to go, wow, things sure turned out different than you thought they would for Phil. But that was a reminder. I mean, he too is the Masters. And it just, you know, where does he take it from here? I don't know. I mean, we've always said that's one of the places he could drive down Magnolia Lane and sort of turn on a switch that he doesn't have for any other week. You know, when they live goes to Australia in a couple weeks, we'll see how he does down there. But, it was a nice moment for him. I think, you know, it sort of touched the whole awkwardness that everybody talked, including me, talked about prior to the Masters with the live thing and all that stuff. And it was such a non-factor. It almost became forgotten once they started to play. It wasn't brought up much. Then you look at the end like, well, look, three of the top four spots on the board have live guys attached to them. So it's not like they forgot how to play golf. You know, you wonder if Brooks was ever going to play golf that well again, but it came about the Masters again, and then we know how much a part of the Masters Mickelson is, and he continues to be.
Yeah, thank you for bringing up Liv because I think this is really becoming a huge story again because of what's happened at Augusta and really the last two majors. The two big arguments for not giving World Golf Ranking points that I've heard over and over again is, one, the 54 holes. I get that. I think that's an easy fix. And the other was an argument that was repeated many times by officials on the PGA Tour and by players, too, and that was there were strength of field issues. Here's the strength of field I have for the Open Championship. First place, T6, T8, T11, and the Masters, the next major, second, third, and T4. I don't think there's a strength of field problem, and I think that the argument against giving Liv World Golf Ranking points, I think it's starting to lose some water. I think that sooner rather than later, there's going to be some sort of resolution. And to deny giving them world golf ranking points where you can provide empirical data that these players are among the best in the world, I don't see how that makes much sense to the common guy.
Then you're not going to like what's coming. Because I don't think they're going to get them. I think they may have had some guidelines pointed out to them during the week at Augusta where they fall short. I think when you have a guy like Sebastian Munoz talking about being on the 18th green and rolling up on the last green to make sure he does something for his team, that's when they look at it like, wait a minute, you're playing for somebody else, you're not playing for yourself. That doesn't help. Yeah, I think they're not going to go away from 54 holes. I mean, live.
I get that. That's the whole Roman numeral LIV. But what I'm saying is that's an easy fix. Adjust it to 75% of the point value that you give normally. Yeah. There's got to be a percentage you could do with that. I understand the 54 hole thing. That, I get that. My thing is the argument of strength of field is not holding water when I look at a leaderboard of the last two majors and go, wait a minute. And it would have been a huge problem to overcome if Koepka would have held on. If all of a sudden the last two major champions are on that tour and you're arguing that they don't have any of the best players, it's kind of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I don't think they're arguing that they don't have some of the best players. I think they're just arguing that the format they're playing doesn't warrant inclusion in the World Golf Rankings. I mean, Brooks Koepka got a lot of points last week. Phil Mickelson got a lot of points last week. I think the powers that determine this are leaning away from granting them that. Now, we'll see where that goes. I mean, it was a really bad week for Liv last week with what happened in the case over in Europe with the DP World Tour prevailing there. And then with the case, the court in California saying, you have to sit for depositions here in this country. You can't. You put it off as long as you can. You have to do it. We'll see if they ever do that. I see they've got a court case. The court date now set for, what is it, May 24th, 2024 or something. Like, oh, my gosh, this is going to keep going on and on and on. We'll see. I'll be interested to see how it does here in the States when they're in Australia, when they go to Europe, when they go places like that, if, time's being off and all that, if it will be watches. Like, I thought it was among the many revealing things Koepka said last week, and I thought he came across as a much warmer version of Brooks Koepka, was when he was asked, had you known your knee would get well the way it has, would you have made a different decision about Liv?
Yeah, he said, would it have made the decision harder? And he said, absolutely, which I couldn't believe he was that candid. Like you said, I was like, is this the same Brooks Koepka? Did I just hear that? Let's move to this week. As much as I like these designated, elevated events, the PGA Tour has got to do something about this schedule. There's no way everyone is anything but burnt to a frazzle coming into Hilton Head. And there are worse places you could be burnt to a frazzle to. But this has been, what, 8 out of the last 10 weeks that were either majors or designated events? This can't go on, and there's no way that they're going to keep this event a designated event next year, can they?
Well, I think they can. I think RBC is a really, really big sponsor. I don't know if they will. I mean, Jordan Spieth said this is 9 out of 11 weeks for him. He never imagined that. He said it led to him making mental mistakes at Augusta last week. He said, I just played so much golf, I wasn't as mentally sharp as I should be. I've written a story this week about that. I mean, they used to, like David Slove said, when he came on tour, Paul Ejinger said, learn what your number is, whether it's 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row, what works for you, and whether you need 1 week or 2 weeks off in between. And learn. Well, Patrick Cantlay said he's got his rhythm. He said, fortunately, the way the schedule falls, places he likes to play are falling with these designated events. So it doesn't change his schedule that much, but it changes others. I mean, you look at John Rahm. I'm sure John Rahm really wanted to take this week off after winning and could have, but then it meant if he was going to honor the whole designated for, showing up in all but one of them, he was going to have to change something. I mean, he already said he's not planning to play in Charlotte. So if he skipped here, he would have to probably play there if he wanted to get the remainder of the PIP money that's still out there.
Are you going to have, I know Rory backed out this week and he had already skipped the tour championship. Are guys just going to say, to hell with it, I don't care about the PIP money, I got to rest?
I think there might be some. I mean, they've already gotten 75% of it, so Roy will sacrifice 25% of it. But 25% of $12 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think that, and I think that's the way what they're working toward. They keep talking, this is a bridge year. This is a bridge year to next year. And I think it is. I think next year they're structuring it so that there's going to be like three non-designated events, then a major and a designated event. And build those windows in. It allows them to create some qualifying structure in the middle there too. But, so this is the week after the Masters. I mean, Travelers is going to be the week after L.A., and it's a designated event. In L.A., U.S. Open's in L.A., so they're going to come all the way to Hartford. That's a big ask there. So, it's imperfect. I think it's giving people what they want, and it's creating the interest, and you're getting to see the best players on it. But I think we're going to see, once they get past the U.S. Open, all of a sudden, it's going to get very quiet for a while. I mean, some guys will play with Scotty Fitzgerald there before the Open Championship. But there's not a lot of room to take a breath right now,
From the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer, that's Ron Green Jr. And when we return, time to look ahead to next month's Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow Club with tournament director Gary Soba. First, how about a trip by the Greater Golf Express Halfway House? You need it? Greater Golf Express has it and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center, Pineville. Are you a serious golfer? GreaterGolfExpress.com is where you need to shop. Complete selections from all the major and minor manufacturers. Are you just getting started in the game? Well, GreaterGolfExpress.com has one of the best pre-owned club selections anywhere. Even a fantastic lefty department. Clubs, balls, apparel, accessories, ladies, juniors. You need it? GreaterGolfExpress.com has it and has it for less. And don't forget to check the sale tab for fantastic buys. The golfer's paradise is GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We are Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies in Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. Gary Soba is the tournament director of the Wells Fargo Championship, longtime friend of the show. We had the chance, we hadn't talked in a long time, had the chance to get caught up this week in anticipation of the return of the tournament to venerable Quail Hollow Club. Brother, how's it going?
Well, I tell you what, Coach. I've got you in a celebrity putting contest. Coach Clifford just committed. Nick Richard just committed. Wesley Walls, we get Greg Olson, we got a bunch of people.
Now, I want to point out for a fact that for 2 years we did a media Green Mile Challenge, and for 2 years my team won. So since we, I guess, have segued from the said competition, we can safely say that Team Charlie is the undisputed and retired champion of the Green Mile Challenge, yes?
Charlie, it's not easy winning a major. Difficult winning a major.
So good. Yeah, I'm looking for a Green Mile Challenge. Even the wife, Debbie's going to get involved with this, and this is coming up on the Monday of Championship Week, which is May the 1st. Yes?
Oh, it's going to be a fantastic event. We have probably 25 commitments from former Panther greats like Greg Olson, Wesley Walls, Jonathan Stewart. We've got Coach Clifford, Nick Richard from the Hornets. We're working on some of the NASCAR greats. We have about five CEOs from major companies here in town. And certainly we have, last but not least, you all, media. We have radio and TV personalities. And it is going to be a wonderful event. And we're going to give away $100,000 to charity that day.
So fantastic. And that segues into what I wanted to talk with you about at the initial. I got to thinking, driving in today, that for a lot of tournament directors, life is sponge cake. Just to throw out a name. For years and years and years and years and years, my fellow Baylor alum, Mark Braswell in Greensboro, 99% of the time, it's, well, there's our date on the schedule. Let's get the stuff for the beach. Yeah, we're good. Order the merch. Yeah, we're good. Everybody commit? Yeah, good, good. All right, let's throw a tournament. And that's what he does. It is no sweat to run that tournament. I'm just remembering when you came aboard, and we had, what, maybe 1.5 years that went smooth, and then we had COVID, and then we had nothing. And then we had a year where you're in D.C. because we're hosting the PGA Championship. Your tenure as a tournament director has to be loaded with more travail in the time that you've been a director than anyone on tour. Is there anyone who even comes close to this?
Well, I hope that, you know, I'm not the cause of that.
No, no, you're not. It's just amazing what all has happened.
Yeah, we have not had a normal tournament here since 2019, so 4 years. And it's amazing the interest in the corporate community. It's an interest in the ticket sales. Everything is robust. We are shattering any records we've ever set here. And the beautiful thing is that means all those in need, the charities in Charlotte, are going to benefit.
Well, and again, that's really the reason I wanted to get into this first part is you mentioned we haven't had a normal tournament here since 2019. You and I both know there are many charities that benefit directly or indirectly from the Wells Fargo Championship, and it is a huge chunk of their pie each year, and they have had to find alternate sources or to do without, and through no fault of their own, no fault of the Wells Fargo Championship. That's been one of the untold heartbreaking stories of what happened with COVID-19 and everything else. So I know that Mr. Harris and the tournament and everybody else, the PGA Tour, you have to feel great about getting things back to normal in terms of the giving aspect of the Wells Fargo Championship.
I think that's near and dear to our heart. We will likely go over $29 million donated to charity, and that's a financial support. In Charlotte, we also have what's called a Reading Champs program. We do one thing tangible each year, and we hand out 11,000 books, part of a package, to every second grader in the CMS system, and it becomes part of their third grade curriculum. So, you know, it's amazing. In this city, there are homes without books. So, you know, education is important. It's paramount to Wells Fargo. My dad was an educator, and, you know, we just did that here last week. It's near and dear in our heart to help out the community, and we're so glad to be back and be able to not only do the Reading Champs program, but provide financial assistance as well.
More than ever, I really like your spot on the schedule this year. Right now, the guys are frazzled on tour. I mean, it seems to me, we were doing a count with Ron Green earlier on the show, it's like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 11 weeks have been either major championships or designated / elevated events or TPC. And those guys just don't play that much. And as soon as they get done at the Heritage, I think it's going to look like a ghost town for a few weeks on tour in terms of the major players. But you guys are going to come back. You know, you've got Zurich, then Mexico, and then you guys, and then a week, and then the PGA. You're an elevated event, a designated event, so your strength of field maybe is probably the worst word. It's probably the best that it's ever been. And the guys are going to be rested and looking to get ready for the PGA. So in terms of a competitive viewing standpoint, y'all are really sitting pretty this year.
Well, I think you're right. One, it's been an unbelievable stretch for the players, but without question, I think this can be the best Wells Fargo Championship in history. Our field's loaded. You mentioned it's a designated event. Purse goes from $9.3 million to $20 million. The greats are coming. And I always say this, if we get good weather, which we're due after a couple of years, I think it is going to be a dynamite Wells Fargo Championship.
The designated event is interesting to me. Take me behind the scenes, if you can. When did the conversations with the PGA Tour begin about, A, making Wells Fargo a designated event? B, was Wells Fargo interested in becoming a designated event? And C, and this is the big one, what's that meeting like when you go to your sponsors and say, you know, what we'd really like to do is up the prize money more than 100%?
Well, they're all kind of hand in glove, and the Tour drives that. You know, it happened, gosh, it's hard to say, is it a year ago now? It's hard to look at the months and so forth, but when they announced they were going to elevate four, in addition to Tiger's, Jack's, and Arnold's tournament. You just kind of looked at the schedule. You looked at what players play events, you know, and you look at the caliber of what Mr. Harris has built here at Quail Hollow and the wonderful job that Wells Fargo has done as a title partnership. We just felt that we were in kind of a catbird seat of tournaments that might get elevated or designated. And, you know, they negotiated with Wells Fargo, and there was some lengthy discussions on that. But fortunately, that of all the events, we were one of the four selected. And we thought coming off the President's Cup, it was important. We think that making certain that our patrons get back out here, ambassadors have a great time. And I think bringing in, you know, to me, the star power is critical, particularly this year. I thought it was maybe even more critical than most years.
Mr. Harris, being a member at Augusta National, he's always sort of taken the same philosophy that I watched the men of the Masters take in the years that I lived in Augusta, and that is you never rest on your laurels. You look at each tournament and say, as great as it was, as much as everybody's praising it, and then what? How can we make it a little bit better? And each and every year, there's always been a wrinkle. Now, what's been interesting is, you know, when the PGA of America came in and did the PGA Championship, or the Tour came in and did the President's Cup, they've added even more to it. What has been gleaned, what has been learned by the Wells Fargo Championship from those events, specifically last year's President's Cup, that you sort of looked at and said, ah, dang, why didn't we think of that? Let's do that with our tournament next year.
Yeah, I think both parties learn from each other. I think, you know, the PGA and President's Cup probably learned from a lot of things we did. But two things in specific, we really like to build to first tee. We will enclose the first tee U-shape. We've added a club there called the One Bird. There is a massive, I call it TV set, 720-square-foot TV set on the back of one tee. The players will leave the practice screen. They will walk through a tunnel kind of into the arena. And then Wells Fargo has their customer lines on the far side. So it's really U-shaped. That's one thing we did. The second thing, Tito's Stillhouse Lounge and Dock on the dam, which is down by 13, we will build over the water, and it's a great venue that you can see 13, 14, 17, and one of the coolest locations on the entire campus here, on the entire grounds of Quail Hollow Club. So those are two things that we did.
Whoa. Did you say you're building over the water?
Well, it's right to the water.
Oh, okay.
It'll feel like you're over the water.
You got to be kidding me. Now, I've heard of some great temporary construction, but that's pretty ambitious.
We're not quite ready to put a boat in the water just yet, Charlie.
Sailgating at the Wells Fargo Championship.
I like that.
So now that this is a designated event, and I know I always try to get you to go on the record. You never do. You're so good at dancing with this. But I don't think there's any argument from anyone that the Wells Fargo Championship is the premier event for Charlotte as a city. In other words, every city or town has that event that they put on their best dress and their best face forward for the world to see. And there's no question in anyone's mind that it is this tournament. With it being a designated event, does that add to our chances? I know we're always going to be on the radar, and we're always going to be on the road for major championship and major events like President's Cups and Ryder Cups and PGA Championships. I get that. But as far as annual golf here in Charlotte, the elevation of this event, does that add to the chance of that continuing?
Well, I think all parties have to agree. You know, certainly there's multiple parties, Wells Fargo, you know, Quail Hollow, the Tour. So, you know, I think the more successful events you have, the better. And let me digress. Charlie, I don't think this is just Charlotte's best event. I'm not sure this isn't the state of North Carolina's best event. And when you have the drones up over Quail Hollow, you know, it's amazing how many people and how many businesses see that. And you look at the Charlotte, and you look at the Triangle, two of the fastest growing metro areas in the United States. And this state is awesome, and I think this showcases the state and the city of Charlotte like no other event.
It's interesting you bring that up. I meant to tell you the story, and I'm glad you did, so I remembered it. A friend of mine took his son, and they were playing. His son's a big soccer fan, and so they did a dream weekend the first part of January, and they went to a Man U, Man City game at Old Trafford, and then turned around the next day, took a boat, and then drove to St. Andrews and played the old course. When he was setting up that venture at the old course, he was talking with the guy over there in Scotland, and the guy said, well, where do you live? He says, well, I live in Monroe, North Carolina. He said, well, how far away is that from Pinehurst? And he says, eh, I don't know, about 85 miles, no big deal. The guy went nuts, and he said, how far are you away from Quail Hollow Club? And he said, I don't know. He said, 35, 40 minutes tops on a heavy traffic day. And somebody says, so you've been there? He goes, yeah, I've been there. He says, we have events here. He goes, I've got to tell you, mate. He says, as much as you look at playing St. Andrews as a must destination, he says, we over here look at Pinehurst and Quail Hollow Club, especially after the PGA and the President's Cup, as must visit, must play destinations. And I'd never thought about that, because we take it for granted being in such proximity to two major golf venues. You know, we just take it for granted because it's just here. We don't think about it. But to hear someone overseas say that, especially someone who's in charge of booking tee times at the old course, I thought was an unbelievable compliment.
Well, Charlie, did you tell him you'd won two majors?
If I'd have been going on the trip, I'd have done it.
I think of all the events on tour, when the drone's over the backside to the water, and the beautiful venue of 1617, you have the Green Mile Club there. I think it's as pretty as shots that are on tour.
And that technology is just going to get better. I think drones are going to get maybe a little larger, a little more stable, and their cameras are going to be mounted just a little bit better. And I think it's going to provide opportunity that we haven't even gotten to yet. I think that you're going to see, because I've seen mock-ups of it, I think you're going to see interesting shot tracer technology done from drones. And the way that looks is absolutely awesome from above.
I totally agree. You know, when you think of the tour and you think of great visuals, certainly from Kapalua, you know, you've got 7 and 18 at Pebble, you know, anything from Augusta, the Calabogie sign at Hilton Head, and I think Quail Hollow is right there with them.
He is the tournament director of the upcoming Wells Fargo Championship. That's Gary Soba. I'd also like to thank Ron Green Jr. of the Global Golf Post and Charlotte Observer for his time and insight this week. A reminder, follow us on Facebook. Just search Taking Dead Aim. Give us a like. Posted there now, as always, links to articles on the latest goings-on in and around the world of golf. Weather-wise, well, you may have to dodge some showers this weekend, but in no way a washout. So plenty of opportunity for letting this game continue to haunt your soul and break your heart. And hey, if you do put a peg in the ground, remember to exhale, swing, pose, and keep it in the short grass. I'm Charlie Nance on Twitter at @CLT_golfguy, and I'll see you right here next week, Taking Dead Aim, presented by Neogenic Stem Cell and Regenerative Therapies, where all you have to lose is pain. And Greater Golf Express, the golfer's paradise. You need it. Greater Golf Express has it, and has it for less. GreaterGolfExpress.com or Centrum Shopping Center Pineville. Are you a serious golfer? GreaterGolfExpress.com is where you need to shop. Complete selections from all the major and minor manufacturers. Are you just getting started in the game? Well, GreaterGolfExpress.com has one of the best pre-owned club selections anywhere, even a fantastic lefty department. Clubs, balls, apparel, accessories, ladies, juniors, you need it? GreaterGolfExpress.com has it, and has it for less. And don't forget to check the sale tab for fantastic buys. The golfer's paradise is GreaterGolfExpress.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.